Yes, he does. Somebody say, yes, he does. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Did you enjoy church last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord last night? Amen. The lady's name, Georgia Bruce. Was that her name, Brother Terry? I appreciate that, sister, don't you? I really do. And the word of the Lord last night, such an encouraging message. Just woke up early this morning, and I couldn't get that off my mind. Just the consolation of what the Holy Ghost really is and what it'll do to your life, what it'll do to your desire. It'll change you. It'll absolutely change you. A lot of people look for lightning, look for thunder, look for whatever, but I'm going to tell you something. It can be so simple sometimes. You wake up one day and you realize, my desire is not what my desire used to be. It's totally changed. Do you think you've done that? Absolutely not. It was something from above. Are you glad you know about it this morning? Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Play a little bit more of it, guys. Let's sing a little bit more of that this morning. Your God is not dead. Your God is not even sick. Your God reigns this morning. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Oh, our God reigns. Well, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Gary, Sister Lona. First of all, Brother Gary wanted me to apologize to you. He got up here, hadn't been up here in about 3 weeks, been sick, different things. And the steel guitar was a little bit loud, probably was at the beginning of the service. And he got that corrected, but he wanted to apologize to you if it was too loud. So we love Brother Gary Harrah, don't we? Amen. Amen. And then coming into the sanctuary this morning, somebody asked me not to get mad again. So I promise I won't. You know, I just tease it. I went back to look at the church service from last night to see what I actually said. I'm so glad I said I was just kidding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Gary and Sister Lona, there's a gentleman that they buy coal, or actually buy firewood from, a Mr. Story, asked us to turn in a prayer request for him. He has terminal throat cancer. So let's remember that need this morning, a Mr. Story, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Grace Martin, sick this morning, needs healing. Let's pray for her. Continue to remember Sister Nola Babb in prayer. Talked to Brother Jimmy just a minute ago, and she just really needs a touch from the Lord in her body. So let's pray for her today, if you would. We'll remember Sister Boone in prayer, not feeling well, just another precious sister we want to be mindful of. Sister Linda Nunley, very bad cold, not feeling good today. Let's pray for her as we pray today. Sister Maria Sponsia says to please pray for my cousin Joe James. He had back surgery last year, and something went awry, not taken hold like it should have, facing another back surgery. on this coming Friday. He is a believer, so let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation today. Sister Lubin says to please remember my mother and my brother in prayer. They are both very sick, need a touch from the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests today, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we certainly want to continue to remember all of the local folks in our assembly that's sick, different things. Brother Warren, Sister Winters, Brother Eugene Kennedy, just different ones that's the sickness is in their body. Let's pray for our local members in our assembly that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks as well. Could we stand this morning, Brother Daniel, if you'll come, get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit these things into the Lord. I'm glad we're serving a prayer answering God. I'm glad we're serving a risen Savior. A risen Savior. He's not dead. Amen. We appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? God bless Brother Daniel.
Amen. I appreciate all the prayers for my sickness over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Cold. Had pneumonia there for a while. All the prayers and phone calls and different things. We appreciate them, don't we? Amen. Brother Donnie preaching last night, something about the greatest thing that could ever happen to you is have a body change or to have a nature change. Excuse me. I'm glad that I don't have the old nature that I used to have. Amen. I know I used to have a temper, and I'm kind of like some of the other brothers. And I'm glad God delivered me from that. Amen. We serve a living God today. Amen. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be in your house today. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood was shed for our sins. And God, it's with your stripes that you bore, God, that we have our healing. Heavenly Father, we praise you now for this service. God, we bring our needs, our requests before your throne, knowing, God, that many times doctors can't help us, people can't help us, but God, you can. And God, we commit these needs into your hands. We pray that you move today. God, we pray for those over the internet, those, whoever they might be, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you move for them. Pray for our pastor today. Lord, that you'll bless them and help us, oh God, that we'll receive the things that is put out to us today. God, we just love you so much. Thank you for our musicians. Thank you for each one that has a part in this service. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us today in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could you say good morning, streamers?
Good morning, streamers.
Say it one more time.
Good morning, streamers.
Give them a nice hand as they listen into the service today. Praise the Lord. Probably a lot more streamers than we'll have people present here this morning that's listening to the service. So we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth today, don't we? How many of you going to worship with us? How many of you going to sing with us this morning? Oh, just be yourself. But sing pretty when you sing, all right? Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song this morning. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. How many of you believe that with all your heart? Amen. Play a little bit of it and we'll get started, Brother Harry. Guys, play with me. church, we've been made more than conquerors. I know the choir has a song for us this morning, so if they'll come onto the platform while we're singing this chorus, all of you come on to the platform right now. Let's sing that little chorus, "We've Been Made More Than Conquerors," as the choir comes to sing for you. I know you're going to be blessed this morning. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, this is a pretty good looking group up here this morning, isn't it? Give them a nice hand. I know a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of preparations went into this song. I know it's going to bless you this morning. Let's enjoy him as they sing.
Fight for those who have fallen and take back what has been stolen from us. He is worthy. Brother Louis don't want to follow that up, and I don't blame him. Let's all stand and follow it up. You know, there's a song that's been on my heart that Sister Tamika sings that I might have the nerve and courage to sing sometime. I can't sing it like her, but when I was singing it the other day in my office, just worshiping the Lord, and, you know, I thought, I can't worship like Sister Tamika, and Sister Tamika can't worship like me. And I thought each one of us, brothers and sisters, we're each different, but we all can worship the Lord in our own way with every song that we sing or raising our hands. We all do it different. We all worship different. Let's don't condemn one another because we don't worship the same, but let's each worship the Father. The Lord showed me something several months ago. I was sitting up here reading John chapter 4. And Jesus and the woman at the well, we all know the story, but Jesus talking about the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. And tears filled my eyes as I thought, the Father is seeking. You know, when you seek something, you don't just casually look for it. You go out and you search for it or whatever. This morning, the Father is seeking someone to worship him in spirit and in truth. And if the Father is seeking that in this building, with all of my heart and all of my soul, I want to be one of those that answers that back to the Father. Whether it's a slow song or a fast song, or whether it's my kind of worship, or whether the Lord wants to move in a different way, whatever it is, I want to be a true worshiper. Help me sing this. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, Lord. You're altogether worthy. You're altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. Oh, beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am. You're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to
seated. We've got a baby to dedicate today. We'll do that before we read the word. Brother John and Sister Haley will bring their little son. We'll dedicate him to the Lord today. Praise the Lord.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
you going to cry on me?
No. He likes to cry.
He likes to cry. Oh, boy. Mama, you might need to hold him there. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we stand here today, Father, this little miracle in our arms, what a great thing it is that you've given us life. We thank you, Lord, for the great honor and responsibility of bringing children into this world, to try to rear them, teach them, instill in them the principles of God. We know, Lord, we can teach, we can talk, we can live the right way before them, but inevitably, they must make that choice themselves when they come to that age. So as they bring their little son to you today, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would help him if time should tarry, that he would be old enough to know right from wrong. May his heart be sensitive at a young age towards you, to turn towards you, Lord Jesus. I pray for Brother John that you would help him to be the right kind of example to his son. Pray for Sister Haley that you'd help her, being the fifth gospel, that she'd be able to instill in him something that would be so profound. We know, Lord, it was Moses' mother who taught him who he was. It took the reckoning of the pillar of fire to quicken it, but all that years of teaching, the pillar of fire had something to touch. Lord, we know that Timothy, the great New Testament speaker, pastor, and leader, from his mother and from his grandmother, had received great notable things. So I pray, Father, we bring him to you today to dedicate his little life to you for a life of service. May you keep him from the evils of the day, the diseases and the sicknesses, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You done good? He'll make a great member of Happy Valley. I put him to sleep. I bring you greetings today from South Africa. One of my pastor, minister friends there was communication with him yesterday. He actually asked me yesterday to do it, and I just got caught up with the service last night and forgot it, so I wanted to bring you greetings today from South Africa. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. And in case you're wondering what city, it's Johannesburg, if that matters to you. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, threescore valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. Oh my. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now, I'll reiterate it again today, for those of you that wasn't with us last night in the service, last Sunday after I left church, me and Carol generally have a great connoisseur that we pick from on Sunday afternoon, either Bojangles or Taco Bell or one of those places. Because as I've gotten older, rest means more to me than filling this tank. I can do this later in the day. So I generally will grab something and then I go home and I lay down. As I lay down, for whatever reason, the Lord picks peculiar times to deal with me. Sometimes it's when I'm my most tired, when I'm the most exhausted and wore out. He chooses those times. He'll wake me up 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever more. And I'm not complaining, sir. My time is yours. Whenever you want to do it, it's perfectly fine with me. But as I lay there, these thoughts begin to go through my heart and my mind, and contemplating them. These great men, how valiant that they were, how well equipped they were well trained, no doubt. By Solomon, these were his best. And these were also personal friends of Solomon. And as I began to ponder about the different battles and things that they could have possibly faced along the way, I was reminded by the presence of God that there was one battle that these men could not fight for her. And that was the battle of the mind. It's the same today for me as your pastor. Any evangelists that would come through, the associate ministers that we have here, they can try to bring the word to you and help you along the way, encourage you, do all those sorts of things. But inevitably, the bottom line will be the battle in your mind will be you are the only one that can be able to defeat your enemy, yourself. We'll approach that today by God's help. Let's pray together if you would. Father, we count it a great honor today to stand in your august presence. For we know at one time, Gentiles, even in the temple, coming up to the tabernacle in the wilderness, we were not allowed into the divine presence of God. But how grateful we are that you come to this earth yourself, and you tore down the middle wall of partition, and you've made a way through the union of that one new man, that invisible union into Christ Jesus, that whether we are Jew or Gentile, black, white, red, whatever we are, being baptized by the Holy Ghost into the mystical body of Christ Jesus, we each one stand before the cross on the same plain ground. And for that, we are thankful. We are thankful today that here in this congregation, there's no big ones among us. There's no medium-sized ones. There's no that are very small and insignificant as far as redemption's work is concerned. But we all stand today, Father, before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We certainly desire to be the type of people you want us to be, those which reflect the great economy of God. We pray once again that you take your word and anoint it to our hearts. Speak to us, Father, that we can become more and more of what you have in your mind, of what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated, saints. Let me read to you what I read last night from The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. There's a mutual ground, a no man's land, and they fight here at this place. They just don't one fight over here and one down here and one over here. There's a battlefront where they meet and test their powers, where each army tests its strength against the powers, or the other army rather. A mutual meeting place. And here he's talking about God and Satan and, of course, the various armies and things of the world. Now, he said when this great battle started on the earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin, for the battle to rage. And the battlegrounds began in the human mind. Now, think what we've just read, that there had to be a mutual place chosen where the battle could rage. Not that it would be easy, not that it would be something genteel, something very, very soft, and it's not going to hurt anybody or kill anybody, but it's going to be a place to where each of these armies will test their absolute very best weapons. There they will meet together, both God and Satan. They will use the very best armament that they have. Satan will use his best, and God will use his. There, both of them, their strength will be proven and tried. But this is the strange thing about it, in that no matter how powerful Satan may try to represent his weapons, and we know that Brother Ram describes to us what Satan's weapons are. They're really very simple. He said his weapons are to get you to doubt your weapons. That's his weapons. It's not like that he has this this complicated type of armament that is so hard to understand. His missiles are so difficult, and his foot soldiers and whatever more are so hard to comprehend. It's really quite simple. His armament is to try to get you to doubt what God has given you to fight against him. Now, why would he choose such a thing?
Because this is what he did against the first human being on the earth, and it was successful. So if it is successful, and you use it for the first 1,000 years, and it's successful, and then you use it for the second 1,000 years, and the third 1,000 years, and the fourth, and the fifth, and on, why would you want to change it? There's no need to. Now, you might change the terms by which you represent it. You might cloak it in something that looks a little bit different. But in reality, it comes right down to it's the same thing. Make them doubt the power of their own weapons. Convince them it's not for them. It's for the person sitting by them, the person sitting on the other side of the church. But convince them that it is useless for them to use it. You know, he does not have to have weapons that are more powerful than yours. He has nothing that can absolutely compare to what God has given us. There's nothing that Satan has as far as power, as far as destructive power, creative power, life power, setting free power. None of that. He has none of that that can be able to compare to what God has given us. But in reality, he does not need it. His armament is so much weaker. It's so much more puny. It's so much smaller. It's so much littler. Everything. To me, this is what makes it so sad on the parts of us as believers. When we are defeated and we have much greater armament to meet him with, we have much greater preparation. We have much great more power on our side. The prophet said, God give the most powerful weapon that he could in the hands of man. You search it in one terms and he says it's prayer. You search it in another terms and he says it is commitment. You search it in other terms and he goes on and on and on, and he mentions one after another, and he calls every one of them the greatest weapon that God would ever put into man. Why? Because everything that God has is the greatest. So whether it is prayer or commitment or faith or love or whatever it is, God don't give you something puny and weak. And yet Satan turns around and by his cunning and his divisiveness, he's able to convince us that his is more powerful. So in the long run, he doesn't need the more powerful weapon. It would be like a great army around the world that would have some of the most destructive weapons that man could ever come up with. And they would have the greatest air force and the greatest land force and the greatest navy, and they would have just absolutely tremendous assets to be able to back up this. And then you would take some guys that have Tonka toys, and they buy their guns at Big Lots, and they use water guns, and they, you know, they go to Fred's and buy stuff, and they buy certain things at Home Depot, and they just throw all this stuff together, but they use their mind. And they convince this other army that they have much more destructive stuff. They could actually cause that army to surrender to them if they know how to play their mind in the right way. Now, if they can be able to propaganda, use the stream of propaganda and use social media and take certain pictures of things that maybe not even real, that don't even exist, and they would be able to convince them, if you do not surrender to us, we are going to annihilate you because our scientists have developed this and that and the other, and they've done all these tremendous things when all they have is a bunch of water guns from Big Lots. But they took these pictures and they fabricated these, animated these things, and you're looking at it and said, oh my goodness, we better surrender. Oh, there's no way that we can withstand this. And they're laughing at you while they have absolutely taken their propaganda. Don't you see where that comes from, friends? It comes from the devil. The devil is the chief of propaganda. So he wants to try to take and convince us, I can do this to you. I can do that to you. I can do this to you, and I can do that to you, when in reality, most of what he's saying to you, he can't do nothing. He can't do nothing, only what we will allow him to do. But he doesn't really have to have the power or the know-how on what to do it. All he's got to do is convince you he can. And if he convinces you that he can do this, then you're afraid and you back up, and here you are with all this armament, your clothes from the top of the head to the bottom of your feet, your clothes in your mind, your clothes in your spirit, your clothes in every way that God could clothe you, and yet the devil stands there with a water gun and squirts you right in the face, and you're terrified. Oh my God, oh my God, oh please, devil, don't, I surrender, please, don't, please, please. And he goes back down in hell and holds his side, laughing at you. Because he took a Big Lots water gun and defeated you. An eternal attribute of God was enough Holy Ghost in you to create a world. What good does it do you if you listen to the devil's lies and propaganda? Can I go on? Good, because we're just getting started. Now watch, when this great battle started on the earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin, for the battle to rage. And the battlegrounds began in the human mind. There's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle, where it was to begin, and that is because the decisions are made from the mind, the head. The battlegrounds where you got to meet your enemy is in the mind. So you see, when you're looking outside of yourself and thinking that this is the battle out here, propaganda again. Oh, if they'd destroy all the cigarette factories, smoking wouldn't bother me no more. No, it's not outside. The battleground is not apart from you. It's here. If you live right in the middle of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and there was a Pall Mall factory at your left window, and a Winston factory at your right, and whatever more all around you, snuff, chewing tobacco, and whatever more, you get that battle won in your head, and it won't make no difference how many is around you. If your front door was going right to the alcohol place, and the back door was the gin place, and the side window was whiskey, and everywhere else it was all around you, you learned how to defeat that thing in your mind, it makes no difference what Satan puts in front of you. But as long as we're putting the battle exterior from us, we're already defeated before we ever get started. And you've got to realize, friend, here when the Shulamite is on her way now into the presence of King Solomon, these men are the greatest men of Israel. They are the most valiant. They're the most equipped. But they cannot stop her from accepting doubt. They cannot stop her from believing she's unworthy. They cannot stop her. They can feed to her the issue of the complimentary things they have heard Solomon say. Maybe they were around Solomon and Solomon said, I'm so excited. I am so excited about getting my bride. Tell her as you bring her back how much I love her. They could tell her all of that, but they could not stop the negative thoughts from going in her mind and telling her, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. Nobody loves you. God don't love you. Brother Donnie don't love you. The church don't love you. You're not needed there. That battle must be fought and won by you. If not, you'll never be able to do it. I cannot convince you. I could hug you every day from now to the rapture and you still wouldn't believe I love you until you defeat that devil in your own mind. You'll still have to be able to war with that thing. The same with God. You've got to be convinced in yourself that God loves you. I can tell you, I can preach it to you every week, and I do, but it won't do a bit of good until you accept and look at the facts of reality. He loves me because he said so. He saved me when I was lost. He sanctified me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Look at all he's done for me. That's proof of his love. Notice again, Brother Bram said, now when the battle begins right in your mind, whether you will. Remember, it's not Christian Science now, mind over matter. That hasn't, the mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God, and there brings life. Just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. Now remember, God will use your thought as the natural birth, of course, was instituted on the earth. Where did it begin? It began with thoughts in the mind of a man and woman. Whenever the fall began upon the earth, where did it start? From Satan's mind into Eve's mind, and death was entered into the human race. How did Jesus Christ come to the earth? God, by creative power, overshadowed a virgin, but it must come through the channel of her thought. Be it unto me according to thy word. No matter how much creation power God had to display in her, it could not happen until her mind had consented to that word, hold on now, and gave God permission. No matter how much God wants to heal you, he needs your okay. No matter how much he wants to give you the Holy Ghost, he needs your agreement to say, Lord, let me have it. Lord, you want to fill me with the Holy Ghost? I agree. Fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You want to bless me? I agree. You want to heal me? I agree. You want to give me peace? I agree. Feed it through the channel of my mind, Lord. Oh my. Notice as he says, your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind? Controlled by your spirit. Your spirit catches the word of God and brings the things that's got life in it. That's the very thing, friend. The word of God has life. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down to that channel into you, the word of God is manifested in you. Now, there's many, many Christians, whenever they become saved, they quit listening to rock and roll and they quit cussing and all that sort of thing. They quit drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes. But many of them still talk the devil's language even after they become saved. Listen to this now. Law of Chicago, 1955. It's a strange saying that this is so much thought of. People say today, they say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I am not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're talking his language right then. So the devil's language is not always cussing. The devil's language is not always using words that you and I would never use. But sometimes the devil's language is, I'm not a very good person. I'm weak. I don't have very much faith. I probably won't even go to heaven anyhow. I'm not very much needed in the body. I'm no count. I'll tell you, friend, you're talking the devil's language. But it's the devil's church language. It ain't barroom language. Come on now. It ain't barroom language. You won't hear that at the barroom, no doubt. You won't hear that at the casino. But this is the devil's church language. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be any good. I agree with you. As long as you're talking that, you won't. You got to get above your mouth. Praise the Lord. Right. Now once he said, you're just talking the devil's language right then. See, you mustn't never say that. Never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Oh, that one in itself is wonderful, but then he goes a step further and tells us how to do it and what to say. What about that excuse? I am saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Let your testimony always, and your thoughts and everything, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. And when it starts that, don't entertain it. Amen. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that'd be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing, you see. You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. If one don't ain't enough, he give you three. Don't entertain it. Just pass on. No, sir. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine. By God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify. And God can only bless you as you confess that he has done it for you. He is the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3. He said he's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. We accept it and believe it and confess it. He can only do for you. Well, praise the Lord. So if you confess you're sick, if you confess you're low down, no good, rotten, no count, don't worry. He will not back up that confession. He's not going to say that in heaven. He just goes mum on you. You muted God when you go to talking the devil's trash. Well, praise the Lord. You say, Brother Donnie, does this really matter, friend? What we feed on, what we think about, has such an impact upon our lives. Our lives in this age, Satan is so bombarding us with every angle. My, we've got social media everywhere. We've got smartphones in every pocket nearly. And we've got bubs and you know, all kinds of buzzes. And this is one thing, and this is something else. This is my email, and this chirp goes to Twitter. And this little thing here, that one, is that Twitter or Twixer? I'm sorry, no, that's Fox Rain. No, that, wait a minute, is that MSNBC or is that... And our minds is so full of all of this trash. If you want to get on some good news, let me hook you up to the right channel. Fox ain't got it. CNN don't have it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, you say that don't affect us, really? I just read an article 2 weeks ago. Well, they said people that constantly are checking their Facebook, that they found in studies, it enhances their anger and leads them to insanity. Because they read things that make them angry and make them mad. Oh my God, I thought, well, glory to God. I think I need to take that to church and read it. Yeah, people said if you're finding that is leading you to that state, they say one of the cures is back off Facebook. I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we feed on a bunch of trash and nonsense and brings us absolutely no spirituality. It does not bring us closer to God. Come on now, don't get quiet. Don't raise your hands. How many of you saints in this place has ever read your Bible, the whole thing? How many of y'all's ever heard every tape the prophet preached? Now, can you tell me movie, all kinds of movie stars' names? Well, I don't know much about my Bible. I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to know your Bible. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that don't matter. It does matter. What you feed on is what you are. If you find yourself weak, if you find yourself powerless and not with enough power to overcome the enemy in this hour, you might ought to check up on your weapons. You might ought to check up on your prayer life. Oh, my. And check up on how much you read the word and listen to the tapes of the prophet of God and think on what you're hearing. Instead of this movie done this, and this football star done this, and this basketball star done this. Don't you see what Satan has done to us in this age? He's made gods out of these entertainment things. He's made gods out of football stars and Hollywood stars and baseball stars and basketball stars. We ought to have one God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh my. Well, I didn't say I made some of you mad already.
Now what's, Brother Bram says, what if Abraham would have took what it looked like? 25 years waiting for a promise that God gave him. Why, he'd have never had the baby. He'd never been the father of little Isaac. But he believed God's word and wouldn't turn it loose. But he watered it day and night strong, giving praise unto God. So what did he water it with? Praise. So can we take better homes and garden and water the promise of God? What about CNN, ABC, CBS? Thank you, sir, for letting us come on Sunday morning. Oh, my. Notice, but Abraham watered the promise of God with praise. Praise. How many of y'all praise the Lord when you're outside of church? How often? Well, I never even think about that. Shame on you. Shame on you. You shouldn't think about praise 3 days a week. You ought to think about it every day of your life. Every time you get a chance. Oh my. Notice this. He watered it day and night, strong giving praise unto God. Oh, when Sarah would say, honey, it's been 25 years ago since the promise was made, and here I am nearly 100. He'd say, praise God. We're going to have it anyhow. Because God said so, and that settles it. That's right. He knew the nature of God because he was a friend of God. Amen. He knew the nature of God because he was a friend of God. May I say to us today, Brother Dow, I don't want to just be a servant of God. I don't want to just be a preacher for God. I hope I don't offend you, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I am a personal friend to Jesus Christ. Not only, amen. Not only do I talk to him, but he talks back to me. I want to be his friend, don't you? I don't want to just be a preacher. I don't want to just be a servant. I want to be a friend to my Lord. And I want my Lord to be a friend. Hallelujah to me. If he needs to talk to somebody about the conditions of the age, I want to be close enough to him where he can tell me. Tell me what's on your heart, Lord. Oh my. Know the nature of God because he was a friend of God. He knowed how to take him. Because he knew that his promises, no matter how foolish they looked, or how simple they looked, or how unreasonable they looked, they were true because God said so. Notice again in God revealing himself, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. And the church said, the word is a seed, is that right? The seed of a sower sowed in the ground. Every word, every seed rather, will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's there. If you need healing, amen. Here's the seed in the word. The word is the seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it alone. It's God's business to bring forth a harvest. You just leave it in there. Water it by faith and praise. How often? Every day, thanking God for it. Now again, don't raise your hand, but how many of us do this? So what do we do many times? We ask God for something, we commit it to God, and we say, well, I've done my part. No, you haven't. You've got to water that seed every day. Brother Donnie, sometimes it gets dry. When it gets dry, water it more. But sometimes I don't feel it. Water it more to help you feel better. Oh, my. Notice now, question and answer 64. Watch how water and praise ties to your rapture. The very camel she watered was the camel that packed her to her bridegroom and all of her success. And the very camel, the very power, beast in the Bible represents a power. And the very power that we give water and praise to. Amen. See, water, life, praise to the word is the very thing that packs us into the glory land to meet the bridegroom. When the Holy Ghost comes near us, don't you recognize what it is? It's our camel train home. So if you're standing there with your arms crossed, you're telling the camel, I don't want to ride you back home. But when the camel comes near, you're saying, glory, hallelujah, I love you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord Jesus. What are you doing? You're giving the camel water. I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to water him down so much he's got to drink 45 gallon a minute in order to keep up with what I'm pouring in the trough. You imagine little Rebecca, she goes down there and she waters him camel. Little did she know that's the very thing that's going to pack her to her bridegroom. Oh, but Brother Donnie, sometimes I don't feel like worshiping. I understand. I don't feel like preaching either. I don't feel like studying. I don't feel like being your pastor a lot of times. Should I quit? You're unfair. You want me to preach with all my heart this morning?
Yes.
Whether or not I feel like it?
Yes.
But you think it's unjust for me to ask you to worship God with all your heart when you don't feel like it? Praise the Lord, Shulamite. Ah, some of y'all has done crawled out of the palanquin and you've headed back to Hermon, ain't you? Let's take a scriptural journey this morning, shall we? Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God giveth unto thee. I am going to absolutely annihilate, by God's grace this morning, your feeble excuse for not knowing how to praise God. From this day on, you're going to be held accountable. Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thy house, thou and the Levite. Oh, they're still believing in preachers then. And the stranger that is among you. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. But I don't know what to say to him right here. Here's one for you. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. You say, what difference did that make? It affects your mind. It affects the way you look at yourself. It affects the way you look at God. It affects the way you look at others. 1 Chronicles, amen, 16:35. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Psalms 30 and 4. And I know y'all think David was a Pentecostal. You wait a minute, Harry and David and some of us musician brothers get up there in heaven. Boy, boy, boy. Time you take the Happy Valley musicians and the Evening Light Tabernacle musicians and bunch of them folks get together with David, we're going to have a time. And for those of you who think there's a decibel meter there in heaven that's going to bother you, I'm not sure where you folks is going. Because that music is going to bounce off them jasper walls. It's going to hit them golden streets. And everywhere you look, it's a hard service. You talking about loud singing and loud music and loud worshiping? Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks for what? At the remembrance of his holiness. Oh, so you thought you were just supposed to thank him for the light bill and the sewer bill was paid and the flat tar and the oil changed and I was able to pay my AAA insurance and my JCPenney card and my belt card and by all my other cards. Sound like you got a major addition subtraction problem. You need to take a school in finances. Don't thank him for just stuff like that. Thank him for who he is, not what he's done just for you. Don't you understand what Satan's trying to do? He's trying to limit our love, our worship, our praise, and it all evolves around us. If you don't know it yet, you're going to wake up and realize the whole thing is not about you. Sorry. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than me.
Oh, Brother Donnie. The service last night was so wonderful. You just followed the Lord, and I'm following that same Lord this morning. It's not my fault that you liked last night better. This is just as much his word.
Psalms 34:1, a psalm of David. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech. Now remember when he feigned himself mad? And his spittle was hanging out of his mouth. That's when this psalm afterwards was written. So he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and said, get out of here, you're a madman. And he departed. And on his way out, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. They called me crazy. I kind of acted like I was a little bit. They thought I was absolutely out of my mind. But I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, his praise. What kind of Christians would we be if we was this kind? But we're this kind. Oh, 9:30 Sunday morning. Oh, God. You want to go to church? I got a little bit of a twinge in my eye. I don't know. I mean, I believe if I went down to Dollywood and rode some of them wet rides, yeah, you'll be feeling real good if you ride one of them rides today. In this weather, it'll take care of your twins because it'll probably freeze. Well, I believe if I went up on Rome Mountain for a ride, I believe it would do me more good than going to church, because you know what he's going to do. He's going to spit and slobber and sweat and carry on and preach on us and tell us we need to get closer to God. That's all he ever says. We need to get closer to God. We need to get closer to God. So what would you rather me preach to you? I just got a text this week from Brother Tim Pruitt, and he's telling me about one of the latest, greatest revelations that's being preached by supposedly the greatest preacher in the Message now. And the revelation is this. The son of perdition, the man of sin, is going to be delivered on a UFO and delivered at the Vatican. And then the Pope is going to introduce him to the world. Is that what you want to hear? Marvel how people will flood to such trash, and a man that tries to tell them the truth, they get madder than a hornet at him. I don't understand, folks, Brother Terry. I just don't understand. Would people rather hear all of that nonsense? And first and foremost, it's a lie. If you knew the Message very well, you'd know that man of sin is the Pope, and he ain't coming on no UFO. He's coming from the Vatican itself. Oh, my. Oh, give us men of God that'll tell us the truth. Give us men of God that'll preach right where we live and get us ready for a rapture. Get us ready to leave this world in a body change. We should have tickled our ears. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth. Loadeth us. Loadeth us with benefits. I've seen the sum of looks on us Christians' faces sometimes. You'd think we'd have to write a new version of this. Because here's our blessings. It's in that little symbol right there. This is my blessings for the day. I know y'all think I'm crazy. That ain't half the story. I think you are if you don't believe this. These ain't my words, friends. Can you imagine a child of God understanding who they are? And they go around. Brother Tony, what in the world's the matter with you? Nothing. I'm loaded down in good things. I'm loaded down in revelation. I'm loaded down in peace. Lord Jesus, lay it on me. He's loaded. He ain't got a thimble full. He ain't got a teaspoon full. He's loading me down with peace. He's loading me down with happiness. He's loading me down with satisfaction. He's loading me down with answered prayers. He daily loadeth us. Praise the Lord. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 92:1, a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. No matter who the song leader is up here before you, not one time should any of them have to pump, prime, or beg you to sing, to worship, to praise. It should be something in you because the Word, amen, the Word wants you to do it. Psalms 103 verse 1, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, praise be to God. Imagine by now, she's not going to know a little silver column. Hold it, hold it. Yes, my lady. Stop. I'm about to have a spell. Let me out of here while I shout. The bodyguard's going along and telling her, you found favor in his eyes. He loves you more than any other. There ain't nobody like you. He's excited to see you. He's longing to see you. He has built a city with your name wrote all over it. Hallelujah. Psalms 103 verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. All I can say is it's a good thing that I didn't see a lot of these things till I was 60. You folks would have locked me up if I'd have seen them when I was 25. Oh my, it does my heart good to see older people rejoice in the Word of God. It does my heart good to see these young people, young men, don't you? Young women sitting up here nodding their heads, raising their hands to the praise of God. Well, friend, what better raising could we give them than the house of God? What better raising could we give them whenever we teach them the value of raising their hand and saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We're teaching them in the right way. Notice in verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. Myriads, millions of angels. We don't have an ear to hear it, but the little cardinal, the robin, the bluebird, the songbirds, God gave them their song. The great whales that go down into the bottom of the sea. It's amazing to me. The ones in the Antarctic, they sing a different type of song than the ones who are around Hawaii. And the ones who's in Hawaii will sing a different song from the Arctic. I'm talking about the whales. So they drop their microphones down into the water and they go to hearing them as they sing their songs. And they're singing. Glory to God. We can't hear it this morning, but the trees, all nature is worshiping Him. You ever heard the sound of the universe? As they go out with a microphone and they put the space out of the space shuttle and they record it. Oh my, if we had God's ears, we'd hear Him saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to El Shaddai. Glory be to Adonai. Glory be to Jehovah. On all His works, worship Him. We're the most stubborn, hard-headed ones. They don't have to be bad. What song leader primes the universe to worship God? What song leader primes the cardinals in the morning to worship God? They don't have a song leader. They have a song. Woo, glory! They don't have a song leader. They have a song from God. They love him. When Mr. Darwin went to the Galapagos and went to different islands to try to find out the mysteries of life, and he wrote down what he saw. If he could have heard the language of all them turtles and all them birds, they'd been singing, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Quite amazing when you understand the sea captain which took Darwin down through there and wrote his own book of all the nonsense that he did. There wasn't no God. That same sea captain went back several years later and wrote his own book. He saw and heard what Darwin could not see and hear. It's the same way when it comes to the house of God. Some folks come, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like something else. Others say, well, I may not like it either, but I'm going to worship. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to praise. I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to be fed. I'm going to be a better person. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. When the Atlantic washes up against the sea, goes back out. When the Pacific, when the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, what are they doing? Praising God. Glory to God. I stood out one day early this week, this past week, and oh my, it was so cold. You know how cold it's been here? It was so cold, and there was cardinals flying around my house there, and robins, and all kinds of songbirds, and they was just singing and worshiping God. And I said, I think I'll join you. I think I'll just join you. So I started just praising him too. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, they wasn't singing Elvis songs. They wasn't saying AC/DC. They wasn't saying rock and roll. Hallelujah. They don't know rock and roll. They don't know country music. They know one song, and that's praise to Jehovah. Psalms 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Oh, so sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice. Now, when you've got a whole big list of prayers that's been answered, it don't take much of anybody to be able to thank God for that. But if you've got a whole list of unanswered, and you're dealing with all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems, that's when you need to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You see, when you're offering it for answered prayer, that's not a sacrifice. But a sacrifice is something you take the life from. So it may take the very life. Hey, don't look like I've got nothing to be thankful for. But Lord God, I bring to you today a sacrifice of thanksgiving. My home's falling apart. My finances and office mess ever was. My children this and that and the other. We got problems in our job, whatever more. But I worship you today. I bless your name. I praise you. I thank you. Amen. 115 verse 18. But we will bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. We got to have a time now when we're going to start. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David must have run into a dry spell. He said, you know what? I'm tired of this sitting around melly grubbing, feeling sorry for myself. From this time on, I'm going to bless the Lord. From this time on, notice he didn't say, I'm going to ask God to bless me. Now, friends, you can understand why the modern folks in this day don't want to hear this, because it's all about them being blessed. Bless, 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 bless. You want a new BMW, you want a new Mercedes, a new Cadillac, a new this, that, the other. Well, send $50 to us and God will multiply it to $5,000. Wow, that's absolutely amazing how that works, ain't it? Well, if that's the way that it works, they ought to in turn send everybody on the telecast there $50 and see how it comes back to them. Of course, it don't work that way, does it? It's only one-sided. So we bless the Lord. Oh, yes, I got a new this. I got a new that. I got more of this. I got more of that. That's not the reason we're blessing him. We're blessing him because he's good. We're blessing him because he's merciful. Because he's kind. You never run out of blessings as long as you're blessing him. Yes, my lady. Could you stop again? Ooh, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. All right, I'm ready to go. Brother Donnie, you only behave that way because you was a Pentecostal. I love it when some of y'all think that. The reason I behave this way is because I'm an attribute of God. David behaved this way before Pentecost ever came into view. They tell Brother Homer Longoria, you know how wild he is, how wild he preaches and stuff. He said, Homer, you only do that because you was a Pentecostal. He said, I started out as a Catholic. Then become a Baptist. I understand, friends. Every one of us worship different. Some of y'all are criers. When the Lord moves on your heart, wells open up in your eyes. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't think the wells prohibit this. Praise the Lord. Those that are dancers and runners like me, that's fine. As long as I don't get it in my mind, that hinders this. Praise the Lord. I love every adversity of it myself. That way I don't miss none. If it's a crying service, I can cry. If it's a shouting service, I can shout. You see, some of you all only get one type, and that's whatever type you are. You need to become more diversified. That way you don't miss out. It don't matter if it's what God's doing. Oh, my. Lord Jesus, you're getting me under. Psalms 115 verse 18, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalms 118 verse 29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Isn't this amazing? David saying this over and over again, the same thing. For his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 134:2. Oh, David, man, what'd you have to say that for? Now they're going to think you're a Pentecostal. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, friends, I ain't too smart, and you know that already. But I know this cannot fulfill that scripture. I know this cannot fulfill that scripture. If you're going to lift up your hands, get them up. Oh, my, notice in 141 verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before as the incense. Lord God. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. What a bold assertion to make on David's part. The blood has not even been shed yet. The only way to worship is through a lamb. Yet David has connected into the presence of God and likened his prayer to incense, and his raising of his hands was like the evening sacrifice. This is what it means to God, especially when you don't feel like doing it. Brother Donnie, I noticed all them scriptures was Old Testament. Well, you noticed too quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore put the therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Amen. And the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks. I have a hard time giving thanks for everything. I'm probably the reason the rapture's been held up. I ain't like a lot of you all. Y'all can give thanks for troubles and trials. I struggle with that sometimes. But I have learned in everything to give thanks. Oh, don't worry. I'll learn. You ain't going without me. My name's written here in them streets of gold. I'm going too. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Timothy 2:1, I will therefore exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Why? It changes your attitude. Have you ever really got down and stayed down and be able to praise God very long and stay down? It changes you. Don't it? I don't blame the devil. No. I don't blame the devil. If I was him, I'd make you folks so sad. I've told you before, I've got a giraffe in my downstairs, and his face is about that long. He's a shoulder mount, what they call a stunt mount, and he stands up about that high, and the taxidermist mounted him where his head is down like this, so when you walk in the room and look at him, he's got that big long face. What? I didn't say anything. The poor song leaders get up here sometimes to try to lead you in singing, and there's a whole congregation of giraffes. And y'all look like you're mounted. You can't move. Praise the Lord. Somebody needs to break out of the taxidermy mount. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Brother Louie. Praise the Lord, Brother Joel. I'm here with you, buddy. I'm here to worship God. I don't feel like it, but that don't matter. You ain't going to have to prime me tonight, Brother Louie. I'm loaded down with benefits. I'm here to praise Him. I'm here to worship Him. Somebody let me out of this palanquin right now. Let me out of this palanquin so I can worship God. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Based on praise, God will reverse your captivity. Hebrews 13, 15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 108, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. Oh.
Lord Jesus. Look, children. Look what you... We say, what can I do for God? What can I do? What can you do? Look at all you can do. And it costs you not one penny. This is not your wallet. This is not your home. This is you overcoming yourself. Well, I don't feel it. I don't. When you realize that, you don't have to feel the anointing to worship Him. I've worshiped Him many times and felt nothing. But I very seldom have worshiped Him without feeling something after I sacrificed. Nothing else, no more than a revival of enthusiasm. Will you say enthusiasm of the devil? Don't tell me that. My prophet said, under the enthusiasm of God. God struck Christ under enthusiasm and smoked the masterpiece. There's nothing wrong with us having enthusiasm. The world gets excited about a soccer ball, a football, a baseball, this and that and the other, and we think there's something wrong with us being enthused. But if there's ever a people in the world that ought to be enthused about our body being changed, enthused about the truths we have, it ought to be us. We ought to be enthused. We ought to be revived. We ought to be happy to know who we are. Let me see if I can find a place to get off. The palanquin. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. So far, I've eliminated ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, Twitter, Facebook. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Ah, that wiped out Facebook right there. Whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. What's the next word? Think. Think on these things. Why? There's power in your thoughts. I found this few lines. I'm not sure if you call it prose or poetry, whatever, poetry. But I thought it was really good. I want to share it with you on this. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Think on these things. Esteem them highly. Recommend them heartily. Practice them fervently. Think on these things. Now, I can assure you, if you start this by next week, I realize I'm asking for more trouble. I know that. I know that I'm asking for more difficult in our journey. And I understand that when I preach this, and some of you get it, I'll have to be stopped more often to let the palanquin stop so you can have a spell. I understand that. But while you're having yours, I think I'll have one with you. Because it'll help me to see you're seeing who He is and forgetting who you are. You're forgetting your family tree. You're forgetting your failures. And you're worshiping Him. And you're praising Him because He is good, not because you are. You're praising Him because He's wonderful, not because you are. You're praising Him because He's faithful, not because you are. Let's stand. How many loves this scripture that Paul wrote? Whatsoever things are lovely and pure. You love it? You do know where it was written, right? In prison. In the Marmotine.
So Paul isn't sitting in the pastor's study with a check coming in every week. All the people patting him on the back and telling him he's a great preacher. But he's sitting in the Marmatine prison. I've been in the Marmatine. Carter County Jail. My, would look like a 5-star resort compared to what this prophet was in. How in the world could a man by the skip with such surroundings, with a little tiny stream of water to carry the body waste out? His food dropped down through a hole in the top, hollowed out of stone. And yet this man was able by the Spirit of God to write, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things of honest and of a good report, think on these things. Think on them. Out of adversity, this scripture was born for our encouragement. Now, when any of you all get down that low, let me know, would you? I've had my times, you've had yours, but I've never been to that spot. I've never been to a spot where I'd say, all men have forsaken me. I've been down pretty low sometimes. But I've never been to a time in my life that I couldn't call somebody to pray for me. But Paul said, everybody's gone away from me. Demas has forsaken me. Pergamus has gone here and this one's gone there. I have nobody left. But whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, whatsoever things are true and honest, think on these things. Brother Dowd, this is where he found his encouragement. If he would have thought, what am I doing here? Me, a prophet of God, called by God. If he had spent all of his time on this, said, forget it. A God who can't even keep me out of jail, why should I preach his gospel?
Praise God. I'm so glad he was able to rise above his adversity and pin it down by the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true. You imagine Brother Terry as he got done writing it, the Holy Ghost come on him and inspired him. He looked back and read and said, praise God, that's good. Man alive, that's good. That couldn't have come from me because there ain't no way I come up with that. Lord Jesus, that's good. That is so good. Stop the palanquin. I go. You think that didn't encourage him? Brother texted me after service last night and said, Brother Donnie, I really enjoyed that service. And I texted him back and said, I really enjoyed preaching it. There's services you really enjoy preaching. There's other times you really wish Brother Darrell could have preached it. Or Brother Horn or some of these other brothers. Because you just don't enjoy it that much. But there's times that God himself takes that word and will minister to you as well. Don't you love him, saints? Are you going to be an overcomer or not? Not just drinking and running around and alcohol and adultery, but yourself, your mind, your thoughts, your busy schedule in this life. The battle for time. Let's bow our heads together. I mean, let to be remembered today before the Lord. God bless your hearts. The visible audience, those in the fellowship hall, invisible audience around the world, those at stream. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, Father, thanking you, first of all, for your mercy and your kindness. Your mercy endures forever. We praise you because you're good, because you're loving, because you're gentle, you're merciful, you're kind. Oh, Lord, we love you so much. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands of your people. They were uplifted. And those, no doubt, that will bow their heads in their homes or in their automobiles or wherever they'll hear this at. Maybe they pull off on the side of the road and they've got a real need in their heart and their life. May you go to them, Lord Jesus. Fathers, I preach with this handkerchief in my pocket today. Dear God, you see this need of our sister in her body. Having to have this radiation treatment, Lord, and then this place that is left in her body, open wound. May the Spirit of God move for her, Lord.
Lord Jesus, may she take the promise of your word and water that promise every day until this place is healed up and disappears from her body. Amen. Lord God, not only for her, but I pray for every individual here today that raised their hand. Mine up with them, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Forgive us for spending so much time complaining and grumbling when we could have spent that time praising and worshiping. Lord, if they don't know how to worship, may they go to the website. May they go to these notes and scriptures, and maybe may they print them out. If they don't have a printer, we'll provide it for them. Let them put it on their smartphone. Let them pack it around. Eat it at lunch. It may produce peculiar results to those that's eating lunch with them, but it'll produce a changed heart. Forgive us, Lord, for not praising you like we should. And praise, Lord, isn't fanaticism. We know that. It's from a heart that loves you. Sometimes we praise and we may feel like running around. Other times we feel like going over and sitting in a corner as it was and just putting our head in our hands and sitting there weeping for the mercy of God that's been given to us. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Forgive us, Father. But from this time, I pray there would be such an increase in praise in the hearts of the saints of God that come to Happy Valley that heaven notices the difference. Lord, from the weakest to the greatest, from the preachers to the deacons to every one of us, may there be a change in the way we look at ourselves and the way we look at you. Lord, may we look at it with an understanding that you inhabit or dwell or love to abide in the praises of your people. Well, if you're going to inhabit my praise, I've got to get you some in order for you to live in them. Help us, I pray, Father. Lord Jesus, we want to be overcomers. Alcohol, drugs, this and that and the other. Maybe some are still dealing with that for the most part. Most of us have been long past that. But Lord, it's dealing with our mind and going on in our own heart and our own self, Father. We want to overcome. And then the last enemy will be death. Lord Jesus, we worship you today. I bless your name. I raise my hands in the sanctuary and I offer to you, my blessed God. I bless your name. You have blessed me since I was a child. You've blessed me down through life, but now it's my turn to bless you. I bless you, my God. I bless you, my Redeemer. I bless you, my Savior, my King. I worship you today, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Don't you love him, saints? Can we just raise our hands now together? In the presence of God. Now you in your own way. You don't have to do it like me or be like some other person. We're not here to match each other. You don't want my spirit. I don't want none of you to act like me. I want you to act like God wants you to act. That's right. We want to be what God wants us to be. But make sure what you're giving him is your all. Make sure it's not a reserved type of thing. If you give him your tears, give them freely. If you give him your hands, praise God. If you're a dancer, do it. Dance with all of your heart. Not to appeal to people, not out of pride, but to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. How many wants to bless him this morning? Bless him. Just worship him and praise him. Praise him for his goodness and his mercy and his kindness, his deliverances, his redemption. Can't you understand? This is why the scripture says that the angels desire to look into this, the ministering spirits. You ever wonder in your mind why when the cherubims were made, that the images of the cherubims are made and their faces are pointed down toward the ark? Their faces were not pointed up toward heaven. Their faces were pointed toward the ark. They're shadowing the coming mystery of salvation. When the angels of God would look at the Holy Ghost and desire to look into it. And the cherubims overshadowed the law and the mercy seat
with their heads bent down toward the ark, as if in a state of trying to understand, trying to comprehend. Angels that are thousands of years old, maybe tens of thousands or millions of years old. And yet those of you that have the Holy Ghost today, they look into your experience and desire to understand it. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost the way that you do. They can praise Him, but they can't sing a song of redemption. They can bless Him, but not like you can. You come from Hermon. You come from the dark places and the valleys where the lions dwell and where the leopards dwell in the cliffs. The angels can't sing that song. But on your way back to meet your King, hallelujah, you're in the palanquin and there you are resting as the bodyguards are telling you of His divine mercy and grace. And you can sit up and worship Him. You can lay back and worship Him. You can cry a while. You can clap your hands a while. You can adore and bless Him. Hallelujah. Because you're the one called out. The bodyguards can tell you how blessed you are, but it's you and you alone that can really feel it and know. Oh, glory to God. Lord Jesus, we worship you today, Father. Then, Lord, an answer back to the mystery of redemption. Then we, Lord, do not do as the cherubims did in the Old Testament. We do not have our heads bowed as it was, looking, trying to understand the ark. Hallelujah. We do not look at the cross, trying to understand some significance. But as redeemed attributes from the mercy seat, we lift our heads toward heaven. We lift our hands toward heaven. Our voices toward heaven. And we say, we understand. We are the mystery of the ark. We are the mystery of the work of redemption. And God would use that great mystery to display His manifold wisdom, even to principalities and powers would try to comprehend and look from the angelic realm. Here today, the angels of God are being instructed, even as you deal with us in this very service. The angels are seeing these people cry. The angels are seeing these people rejoice. They're seeing them moved upon. And the angels of God are right here ministering to us right now. And yet they themselves do not understand. Lord God, we bless your name today, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We raise our hands, our heads up towards the throne of God, not in bewilderment, oh hallelujah, but saying thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your salvation. Our only bewilderment would be, how in the world could I be worthy? How in the world could I receive it? And we know none of us are worthy. So, Father, we're not going to spend our time trying to figure out how we are. We're going to say, blessed be the Lord, for He is good. Blessed be the Lord, for He is merciful. Blessed be the Lord, for He is kind. Blessed be the Lord, for He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my high God. He is my rock. He is my defense. He is my son. He is my shield. He is my save. Oh, hallelujah. He is my shade in the time of great distress. I will bless the Lord at all times. From this time forth and forever, I will praise His name. I will praise Him when I'm weary. I will praise Him when I'm down. I will praise Him when I feel like it. I will praise Him when I don't. Hallelujah. 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 For the Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is great. The Lord is magnanimous. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is clothed in righteousness. Let all the works of the heavens praise Him. Let all the works of His hands on the earth praise Him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, hallelujah, I bless His name who loadeth us daily with benefits. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, children, don't you love Him with all your hearts? Oh, my, don't be in no hurry, please. Oh, your lunch, I know all that, but my, to me, there ain't nothing we could eat in this world that's any better than where we are right now in the presence of God. Jesus has ministered to you now through a gift of preaching. Now, why don't you minister back to Him? Why don't you bless Him? He's blessed you all of your life. Why don't you bless Him this morning?
Why don't you bless him for your marriage, for your husband, your wife? Bless him for your job. Bless him for your house. Bless him for making a way for you. Bless him for your church. Oh my. Bless him that you're a part of this message. Bless him that you're a part of God's great plan.
Hallelujah. Oh, we got so much to thank you for. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We extol your name, mighty God. His name is Yah, who rideth upon the heavens, whose name is Yah. We bless you today, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's it, children. Oh, you can imagine how wonderful that sounds to his ears. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Young, old, middle-aged, deacons, preachers, trustees, moms, dads in the nursery, or wherever you are, over in the fellowship hall, let's bless his name. Let's bless his name this morning. Praise God. Sing something for us, Harry. Oh, blessed God, we worship you. Blessed God, we extol your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, my soul and all
yes,
that is within me.
Hallelujah.
Bless
hallelujah.
Holy
you see, friends, when you're praising him, you're talking his language. He loves hearing it. Oh, bless him.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great.
We bless your name. We extol you. We exalt you.
Life, I know he has done great things. Bless his holy
hallelujah. Everybody together now.
Name.
Oh, let me hear you sing it now.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Brother Donnie, I wish I could play an instrument. You can. Every one of you today, if you have 10 fingers, you have a 10-stringed instrument. I'm going to teach you how to play it for the Lord.
Glory.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! That's your 10-string instrument. Play it with all your heart. To God. I'll bless his name. I'll worship him.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you, saints. The meeting says it's been good to be.
Yes, sir.
in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Lord. We'll see you again Wednesday night. Don't stop praising Him just when you go out that door. Every time you find a chance, praise Him. You say, "What's it? What am I going to get back?" You'd be surprised. You'll be surprised what it will do for you. It will change you. It will change you. I'm going to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the. Praise Him in the. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. I want to praise Him when the. Oh, I'm going to love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him. It's because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Come on now, can you worship Him when you change gears? Because He lives. Let's just sing it before we go. My fear of missing the rapture is gone. The world, He said. Sing it again. Oh, because He lives. Friend, you can face all your tomorrows because of one reason. Your Jesus lives. Your fear of being lost, going to hell, can all be gone because I know. Aren't you glad that you know He holds your future and life is worth living just because you're going to fear of God because my Jesus lives. I can face.